Awesome is that? And do you guys understand how that represents my life? What was the first word that came up on the screen? Hyperactive. And it was almost, you could almost put up schizophrenic. It was crazy. And all throughout that video, where he's doing so many different things, making so many different sounds, there was one time throughout the whole activity that he stopped for a second, yawned, sat back, and relaxed. And every once in a while, his finger would come up to his mouth, and what would he do? Shh. But then he'd keep going, and he was back at it. And my life is a lot of times hyperactive, and I don't know if you can relate, but it is so filled with activity, it feels like it's crazy. And I don't know where I am. I couldn't tell which of those clips that guy was doing, if it was something he'd already done before, if it was something new. It got to where it was moving so fast and jumping from here and there so quickly, I had no idea what was going on. I was completely lost, and every once in a while, I caught a shh. And that's sometimes how I feel like my life is I go from this activity to that activity to this activity to that activity, and every once in a while, I hear from somewhere deep inside my heart this noise that goes shh, but before I can even hear it, before I can even acknowledge it, I'm doing all these different things, and all along, it keeps coming up shh, 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 right in the middle of it. But I never take the time to stop and listen to that thing inside of me that is saying, shh. And for the next 2 weeks in J. Crew, I'm going to tell you something that my mom has never allowed me to say. When I was younger, I would say this, and she would say, bad word. Don't say that. We say something different. We don't say that. For the next 2 weeks at J. Crew, what I'm going to tell you to do is to shut up. Connor, shut up. I'm just kidding. I was never allowed to say shut up. I'm not advocating you going home and telling your little brother and sister to shut up and then kick them. I'm not advocating you going home and your parents say, hey, would you set the table? And you go and shut up. David told me. He said to tell you to shut up. And that's from church. Eat it, mom and dad. I'm not telling you to do that. And I'm not actually telling you guys to shut up. It's not that you talk too much. Some of you do. It's not that you text message me too much. Some of you do before 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. You need not to hear me tell you to shut up, but you need to sometimes tell the noise that goes on in your lives to shh or shut up. I like shut up better. I thought you'd remember it better than shh. So I said, shut up. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how you can find quiet in a loud world. And just to start off this morning, to see if you guys are on the same page that I am, about noise in our lives, about hyper going on everywhere in our lives. I want to do a little quiz. How many of you guys have an outline? Hold them up if you got a little outline there. All right, how many of you guys have a pen with your outline? Okay, here's the deal. We hand these out every day when you come in the door. Sometimes they're useful, sometimes they're useless. But at least you can take the little thing that they hand you when you walk in the door and fold it up and stick it in your pocket because later you might need it. I encourage you, if you bring your Bible, to take a little pen and just slide it in the top and it can hold on the top. So you always have a pen with you because today I want you to get out your sheet and if you have a pen, use your pen. If not, you can just look at the sheet. You can borrow a neighbor's pen or whatever you want to do. But I want to do kind of, it's not really a quiz, it's more of a survey. And I'm going to give you, you've got them on your sheet there, I'm going to give you 6 words and I want you to check off whether or not that word applies to you. And I'm going to give you a little description. If you don't have a sheet, the words will be up on the screen. And these words a lot of times describe my life, and because I hang out with you guys enough, I have a sneaking suspicion that they describe your life and your life and maybe your life, definitely your life. All right, let's check these words out. Hey, how about you guys hop down off of there because those things will collapse, they'll pinch your hands off, and then we'll have a major disaster on our hands. You can sit Indian style. Why don't you just plop down here Indian style on the floor. Okay, if there's anything, you can feel free to eat it, crumbs or anything like that, just pick them up. This floor is so clean. It's one of the cleanest ones we have. All right, everybody look up at the screen. The first word I want to ask you, if this describes you, is overcommitted. Overcommitted. I want you to think about all the things in your life that you're committed to. Are you committed to your family? Are you committed to your school? And if you're committed to your school, how many classes are you committed to? And not necessarily that you stood up and said, I'm committed to history, but that you are committed to history because you have to be there. You're obligated to be there every day. How many commitments do you have? Are you committed to your volleyball team? Are you committed to your soccer team? Are you committed to baseball? What about piano lessons? Are you committed to your video games? Are you committed to certain friendships? Are you committed to certain obligations? Are you overcommitted? When you think about all the commitments that you have in your life, would you think, I've got too many of those bad boys running around? What about the word overscheduled? It's a difference from commitment because maybe there's some things on your schedule that you're not committed to, but that you're scheduled to do. Today's schedule involves me riding with Mom in the minivan to go pick up sister from this and that, and it's on my schedule, and everything I do is on a schedule. And if I want to go spend the night at a friend's house, I've got to check with Mom and Dad to see what's on the schedule because I'm overscheduled. And if I got something else on the schedule, then I can't go because it's against the schedule. But everything's on the schedule for sure. Are you overscheduled? Does every minute of your life, does it feel like it's planned out for you? What about this one? Overstimulated. Think about all the things that come in your ears, in your eyes, in your nose, maybe. What are all the things? You guys live in a day and age that is so different from when I was your age. When I was your age, believe it or not, we did not have a computer in our house. When I was your age, if someone were to say the word internet, I would think it was maybe something to catch a bird, which I tried to do, which was fun, but or maybe something to scoop up a frog. But I would have no idea that the internet was something that you used a computer to talk to other people and to find information. I had no idea. The internet didn't exist when I was your age. Computers didn't exist when I was your age. Cell phones, forget about it. Maybe when I was in high school, some people had these big blocks of like that they'd have to like mount on their shoulder and it had to be wired up to something and you'd have to walk around with a long cord from everywhere you go. But cell phones didn't exist, but you guys are stimulated from every which way. Have you guys ever tried to do homework while watching TV? Yes. Have you ever tried to do homework while watching TV and talking to someone on Instant Messenger? Yes. Have you ever tried to do homework while watching TV, talking to someone on Instant Messenger, and downloading music? Yes. You're overstimulated, all right? And Mom's calling, it's time for dinner! You've got something else on your schedule. Are you overhurried? What about this? Think about when is the last time you were with a friend and you were listening to music and you didn't finish the whole song? Yeah. Because hurry. Okay, we already listened to that one. Even though it's not it, we already listened to it. Let's go on to the next one. because everything we do is in a hurry. How many of you guys try to get your homework done as fast as you can? How many of you guys have caught your mom and dad running a red light or rolling through a stop sign? That's because we're in a hurry. What about this word? Overstressed. When is the last time you said the words, I'm stressed, or I'm so stressed, or OMG, this is so stressful? Are you overstressed? And here's the last one, overwhelmed. When's the last time you just felt inside of you like you just wanted to throw up your hands and quit? Whatever it was you were frustrated with. Now let's go through the list here. I want to see hands. How many people thought they were overcommitted? Or let's do this. Put your hands down. Maybe you don't want to say, how many of you, let's do this. How many of you know someone? Let's just say you know someone that's overcommitted. Raise your hand. How many of you guys know someone that's overscheduled? What about overstimulated? Anybody? Hands down. Overhurried? Overstressed? Look around you. What about overwhelmed? Now here's the question. If you looked around at all, you'd see that pretty much the whole room felt this whole list. And yet, if you're like me, in my heart, in the midst of the overcommitted, overscheduled, overstimulated, overhurried, overstressed, and overwhelmed life that I live a lot of times, I still hear in the midst of the commotion, shh. And there's something inside of me that's telling me you're going too fast, you're doing too much, you need to slow down. And I think inside of me, that something is the sound of the Holy Spirit. It's the sound of God who lives in my heart, who lives close to me, that I have a relationship with, telling me that he does not want me to be overcommitted, overscheduled, overhurried, overstimulated, overstressed, and overwhelmed, but he wants me to rest. And I can tell you, I know that's his voice because that's what his word says to me, and I know his word. And I want to show you, if you have your outline, three key verses you can write down and look up later. The first one is this. God says this in Psalm 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. This is a command from God, from his word, that tells you to be still and know that he is God. Now, do you think this is a command for something for us to do all the time? We're just constantly supposed to be motionless? And if we have to go anywhere, someone has to pick us up and carry us. I'm like, sorry, I'm being still. No. But we have to have a time and a portion of our lives to be still and know that he is God. It is a command from Scripture. God also gives us not just a command, but he tells us that being still and being quiet is evidence of his relationship with us that others can see. I want you to show you a verse from a book of the Bible we might not have ever cracked open in here before, but it's an awesome one. It's called Zephaniah. You don't see many kids, people naming their kids Zephaniah nowadays. But Zephaniah was a prophet back in the Old Testament. And Zephaniah told the people of his time, he said, the Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. Listen to this part. We just sang three songs to God, well, about five, but three of them we were really focused on him, and it was awesome. Look at this next part of this verse. It says that God will take great delight in you, and God will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. God will rejoice over you with singing and quiet you and still you. In a still and a quiet life, and an unhurried, unstimulated, unovercommitted life is one that is evidence of God's quieting you with his love. But if you don't follow his command, there will be no evidence of God's love in your life. Because the command is be still to know that he is God. And when you know that he is God, God will rejoice over you with singing, and he will quiet you with his love. Now you're going, David never heard it. Never heard God going, oh, Madeline, you're so great. No, that's not, you don't hear the voice coming out of heaven. But God will quiet and he will sing to your heart in those still moments. Now, God gave you command. He tells you it's evidence of his love, and God gives us all an invitation. This is the coolest one because Jesus was a man who walked the earth. He was a person just like us, wearing skin, and Jesus hung out with these guys that were called his disciples, and one day they were so busy, even Jesus and his disciples got overcommitted, overscheduled, overstimulated, overhurried. They got overwhelmed one day, and Jesus looked around, and look at this, in Mark 6, 31, he says, all right, here's what Mark says when he's telling a story. He says, then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. You guys ever had to miss a meal? All of a sudden, it gets to the end of the day, and your mom's like, oh, I forgot to feed you. And you're like, I know, we were so busy. And you're like, I chewed off my thumb here. I gnawed it off. Can we go get it fixed? And you get that fixed, and then you eat. Jesus says, so many people, so much was going on. People were crowding around them. He said they didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus turned to his disciples. You know what he said? Look what he said. Look, he said, come with me. Come with me. Jesus said, come with me. I'm Jesus. I'm God. Come with me. Then he said, by yourselves, just you guys and me, to a quiet place and get some rest. And what Jesus is saying to you guys today is, hey, overhurried, overstimulated, overcommitted, overwhelmed, overstressed, listen to me. Why don't you guys just stop? Why don't you come with me? Come by yourselves. Come to a quiet place. And guys, just get some rest. You guys need to rest. Because when you are still, and only when you are still, will you know that God is God. Otherwise, he's just a word. He's just a song we sing. He's just a thought and a phrase. But he's not someone that you genuinely actually get to interact with. You guys have all had it. You've all had a moment when you're at a retreat, you're at a camp, you're at a whatever it is. Maybe sometimes in here, I pray every week in here. But you've all had a time when your heart has been rested and you've been still and you've been before God and you felt like you're actually interacting with the God of the universe, not just playing a game. You've all had it, right? Most of you have. Most of us have, I hope. You can experience that every day if you will come with Jesus by yourself to a quiet place and just rest. You've got to stop the hurry. You've got to stop the commitment and all the stimulation. You've got to unplug from all the stuff that you got going every day. And I'm not coming down on you. I'm just pleading with you guys. I see you draining yourselves, and you need to rest. Now, I'm going to stop talking. And there's nothing better I can do for you guys this morning than to give you 3 minutes in case you're not going to do it by yourself at home, which I pray you would. And I'm going to play you a song. And the only reason why I'm going to play a song is because if it was quiet, there might be some other noise that would distract you, and a song will help kind of keep your focus on being still. And this song is called Be Still and Know That He Is God. And we're going to turn off the lights. I'm going to have Jordan run back there and flip those lights off. And you guys can either read the words to this song, look at the screen, or you can just close your eyes and listen to it and bow your heads and just spend some time resting this morning. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't draw. Don't write a note. Don't talk to your neighbor. But spend 3 minutes being still before God, and we'll wrap up.
Be still. know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. Be still. Be speechless. Still know that he is God. You still know he is our Father. Come rest your head upon his breast. Listen to the rhythm of his unfailing heart of love. Calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still.
Jesus said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And what Jesus was saying is the heart of my Father is beating for you, and he wants to spend time with you. Now, we need to find quiet in a loud world, but we are not just victims of a world that is loud. Some of us, and I'm afraid a lot of us, aren't victims, but we're addicts. And we're addicted to activity, and we're addicted to noise. That's my problem. I get so used to it that I find my identity is wrapped up in all the things that I do and I'm busy with. And so next week, we're really going to talk to those of you that are victims of a loud world, but also addicted to a loud world. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you some direction from Scripture on how you can break free from a life that's addicted to noise and busyness and activity. You know, maybe you're going, I don't know, maybe I'm a victim, maybe I'm an addict. If that 3 minutes was hard for you, if it was hard for you to settle down, if it was hard for you to not think about other things during that 3 minutes, if it was hard for you to not sit up and look around, to think about what you're doing later today, whatever it is, it's hard for you just to be still, to listen to those words, and to be near to God. If that was a challenge, odds are you've got a problem. And I'll tell you that problem, here's what happens, guys. When we don't have quiet in our lives, we become physically and mentally exhausted. And maybe you haven't broken yet, but pretty soon we break. Physically, shortens our lifespan, it makes us sick, it's unhealthy. Mentally, we can't bounce back and forth between so many things. A lot of people your age end up depressed. We become relationally superficial. When we're so busy, we don't have time to have deep, real, enjoyable friendships with our friends and with our families, with our small groups and with God. And that last one with God, we become spiritually shallow. When we do not have quiet in our lives, when we don't come with Jesus by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest, we exhaust ourselves. Some of you might be sitting out there going, David, that's me. I feel physically and mentally exhausted right now, and the semester has just started, and I'm already wearing out. My relationships are superficial. I don't have anything deep. And spiritually, I'm about as shallow as a fountain at North Park. Well, let me tell you, quiet is always there. But just like these disciples had to do, sometimes you have to go away by yourself and you have to find a quiet place to get some rest. And it's hard if you're addicted to the hurry and the noise and the hustle and bustle of this world. But I want to encourage you to try this week. Just try to find some rest and to find some quiet. And next week, I'm going to give you some more really practical steps, some really hands-on things you can do to escape from the overstressed, overburdened, overloaded, overwhelmed lives that most of you guys are leading. Let me pray and we'll wrap up. Lord, would you let us be still? Would you free us from our addictions and from the victimization of this loud, busy world we live in? Would you give us direction and guidance, and would you call us out to come with you by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest? All I want is to be near you, to be comforted by you, to find rest in you, to hear you rejoicing over me, to understand you better, and to find rest for my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.